time and Bible study. Isn't it great to study the Word of God? I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 16. We began teaching a few weeks ago on the seven facets of the anointing of the Lord. And I want to welcome those that will listen to the message by internet tonight. We begin to launch our internet ministry where people can access the messages via the World Wide Web. And you know, it's a great privilege, it's a great honor to take the message of God around the world, and we don't even have to leave Weslaco. Amen. So thank God tonight for the blessing of the Lord that He adds, and that He gives us opportunity to reach, even though sometimes the people that are closest to you are the people that fail to receive from you. But you know, God's always got a word for those that will come and listen. And we need more of God in these last days than we need anything else. There is a real devil out there, and he's doing his thing. He's stealing, he's killing, he's destroying, and he's trying to blind the hearts of men. But thank God for the Word. Thank God for revelation. Thank God for wisdom. And I wanted to read something before I take off here and go back and begin to see what we're studying here. I wanted to show you this because I was going to read this at the offering, but then the Lord checked me. Let me read it now to those that are here to hear it. He says in Luke chapter 16, did you find Luke 16? Look at verse 10. It says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." Now look at this. He makes a connection here. He says, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches?" Who will commit to you in your trust, the true riches? Now, there's two things there I want you to see. One of them is the unrighteous mammon. The unrighteous mammon has all to do with your money and what you do with it. I'm telling you, folks, until you get free from money and you get free from the love of money, you will not inherit the true riches of God. The true riches of God are the anointing of God. The true riches of God is what we'll find out is all these anointings that give us the same anointings that Jesus had on His life. And sometimes people can't, they can't break through, and they can't see that God wants to give them all these things. And you know, sometimes we fail to realize also that money can't buy us everything in life. You know that, right? I said money can't buy you happiness. It can't buy you health. It can buy you medicine. It can buy your way into doctors. But how many know Jesus is still the healer? So just get free of that and trust God. Because when you get free and trust God, that's when God can begin to work on your behalf. So just be faithful. I wanted to go over those scriptures. I wanted to go over this scripture particularly with you and show you this. Because every time we see somebody operating in the anointing and somebody operating, we're talking specifically now about the anointing of wisdom, you're going to see that it's tied or connected to their offering. Now, isn't that amazing? That when God spoke to somebody, when God did something in somebody's life, it's connected with an offering. So just remember that as we study the Word of God tonight and even future times. Now go back over with me to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 11. And here we want to again take a look at these, what I'm calling the seven facets of the anointing of God. When you talk about the anointing of God, you're talking about the presence of God. When you're talking about the anointing of God, the presence of God, you're talking about the God that shows up and manifests His presence through power, through might, and through other ways which He demonstrates His glory. So you can't separate that presence of God from the anointing of God. We know that Jesus was anointed. Amen? The Bible tells us how God anointed Jesus and he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, doing good. And so we know that the anointing, by definition, Isaiah, we're right there in Isaiah chapter 11, but remember Isaiah chapter 10. Let me kind of do a quick review in case some of you have forgotten these things or don't, or we're not here. But the Bible defines what the anointing is. The anointing begins to lift burdens off of our lives, and it begins to destroy yokes. When there's anointing, those yokes will be destroyed and burdens will be removed. Amen? And so we want the anointing every time we come to the house of God. We want the presence of God. The presence of God is equal to the anointing of God. So look here with me as we see this again in Isaiah chapter 11. It says, well, let's begin to read in verse 2. If you notice here, there's seven facets of this anointing. The first one is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is what Jesus said was upon him. So the Spirit of the Lord is an anointing. And whenever the anointing is around, what happens? Burdens will be removed and yokes will be destroyed. That's how we know that the anointing is around. And it says that Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of might, and the Spirit of knowledge of the fear of the Lord. So we defined what the fear of the Lord is. We began talking several weeks ago about the fear of the Lord and defined that to you first, because it is the foundation by which these other things begin to rest and begin to take effect by having a fear of the Lord. The Bible says if we fear the Lord, we'll abstain from evil. If we fear the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom. And so now we're talking about wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. All right. Go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 4, and it tells us why wisdom is important. Amen. Look at verse 7. It says wisdom is what? It says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. So the Bible tells us that we are to get understanding, but we're to get wisdom because it's the principal thing. You're not going to get understanding without wisdom. Now, we define the principal thing as the most important thing. We define the principal thing as the main thing or the essential thing. So we have instructions here that in all of our getting, we are to get wisdom because it's the principal thing, and getting that wisdom, we are to get understanding. Now, how many again understand that if we're commanded to get wisdom, we need to get it? If we're commanded to get wisdom, we need to be motivated to find out what wisdom is. We need to be motivated to find out what wisdom does. We need to be motivated to know the benefits of having wisdom in our life. Now, if you will, let's go back over to the book of Luke and let's begin to see these again and define what wisdom is. Back over in Luke chapter 11, if you'll turn over there with me, we have to know what wisdom is. If we don't know what wisdom is, we're not going to have motivation to get it. You know, it's like, it'd be like trying to motivate some of you to go on a diet. You got to know the benefits of the diet before you go on it. You got to know what a diet is. And you got to know what the diet will do for you. Amen. Before you get motivated to do it. Amen. If you don't have understanding of that, then you won't do it. The same thing with the wisdom of God, okay? So let's see what wisdom is. In Luke's Gospel chapter 11, excuse me, it says, now look at this again. It says, now we read this scripture last week, but let me quickly go over a couple of these. It says, therefore the wisdom of God also said. Now who said? Who's writing this verse? Come on, Jesus is writing. How do we know? Because it's in red. That's good. It says, therefore the wisdom of God also said. So who's talking? See, we got to see who's talking here. Who said something? The wisdom of God. Now, how does the wisdom of God say something? Look what it says. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said,
I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and they will persecute. But here's what we got to see. The mouth of wisdom said something. The Bible is saying here that the wisdom of God is saying something. Now, when God says something, that's equivalent to His Word. Come on, follow me now. Wisdom, so we can get a definition right here. Wisdom of God is the Word of God. Because when wisdom spoke, when wisdom said something, it was the Word of God saying something. We have to go back and we define Scripture by Scripture. So we can say unequivocally that the wisdom of God is the Word of God. Are you with me so far? So we brought that out because we got to define what wisdom is, or we won't be motivated to get the principal thing, the most essential thing, or the main thing. The main thing that you and I come to get is the Word of God. But the Word of God is wisdom. Okay? Now go over to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, praise God. Here's what it says in verse 15. He said, I will give you a mouth. Everybody say a mouth. And what? Wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or to resist. So God has given us what? A mouth, and God has given us to use wisdom, or what? The Word of God. Notice that the mouth is connected to the Word of God. So what are we supposed to use our mouth for? To speak the Word of God, okay? Now, go back with me over to the book of Proverbs. Y'all have your Bibles? Everybody should bring their Bibles, okay? You need to see these scriptures and mark them down and get these things in your understanding, because remember what the principal thing is here, okay? Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go back and read this. And this time, I want to substitute, every time we see the word wisdom, because we define wisdom as what? The Word of God. So every time, I want to read here some out of Proverbs chapter 4. Every time we see the word wisdom, or where it's inferred wisdom, let's substitute, and we wouldn't be unscripturally by doing so, the Word of God. Okay? So let's go back here let's read verse 5. It says, get wisdom, but get what? Get the Word of God, get understanding. Do not forget the Word of God, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake the Word of God, and the Word of God will preserve thee. Are you following me there? Love the Word of God, and the Word of God will keep you. The Word of God is the principal thing. The Word of God is the essential thing. The Word of God is the main thing. Therefore, get the Word of God. What are we supposed to get? The Word of God. What are we coming here tonight to get? Okay. Are you excited about that? It says, therefore, in all you're getting, what? Get understanding. So, it's not enough just to get the Word of God. Now we've got to get the ability to apply it to our life. We've got to get the ability to understand how to use the Word of God. It's like speaking a language. You can know the words, but if you don't know what the words mean and how to use the words, then the language is really useless to you. Come on, somebody. All right? It says, exalt the Word of God, and the Word of God will what? It will promote you. The Word of God will bring you honor when you embrace the Word of God. Are you seeing this? The Word of God will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. The Word of God will deliver you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of the Word of God. I have led you in the past, and when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. How many understand that the Word of God is the principal thing? Now, let's go over to the book of Ephesians. excuse me, Ephesians chapter 1. Wisdom is the word of God. Wisdom is the anointing. Let me open that. Everybody say wisdom is the word of God. It's also the anointing. And the anointing, what? Breaks yokes, lifts burdens. All right? It is the principal thing. When we embrace the word of God will embrace us. The word of God, you can't get anything from God without the word. Okay? So we need to see this other important aspect of wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want to tie this together again because I think, again, this is where people have some confusion set in, and God's not the author of confusion, about the difference between the written word and the spoken word. The written word is called the Logos. The spoken word is called the Rhema. Now, here's something you need to know and put in your memory bank, that you're not going to receive the spoken word until you commit to the written word. You're not going to receive a spoken word until you are faithful to the written word. Because if you're not faithful to the written word, you wouldn't know when God spoke to you anyway. And you wouldn't know if it was God speaking. And you would not have any safeguard if you thought it was God, whether it was really God or not speaking. And you might take it as God speaking, but it's not God. I lost the amen on the last one there. All right, let's read here. All right, verse, where are we at? 16 and 17. It says, "Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you," what? "The spirit of wisdom and," look at the word "and" there. That's why I want you to have your Bible so you can see these things and mark them up. "And revelation," or what we call revelation in the knowledge of Him. Notice that revelation is tied to the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is tied to revelation, okay? So we have the written word. The written word is the wisdom of God. So we can get wisdom by reading the written word. But we have to take it a step further because also there's the spoken word. In other words, God can speak to us, and through the speaking to us, we can get revelation. What did we say revelation was? Revelation is knowledge and understanding that comes through the spoken word that you could not know or obtain by a natural means. It's not something you pick up in Sunday school. It's not something you pick up even in a Bible school, should you go to a Bible school. But the spoken word brings revelation that God is speaking to you by the Holy Spirit, to your spirit, and it causes you to know something that you couldn't naturally know. You can't get this kind of revelation. You can't get this kind of knowledge from any natural source or any natural means. Now, I can show you revelation by teaching you what God has revealed to me, but you will see it then, but you won't see it until God speaks it to your heart. Now, this is where Christians get a little bit confused between the spoken word and the written word. Some people don't understand how revelation comes. But you know, remember when Jesus spoke to Peter that day, and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And he told him this and that, and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "You are the what? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. So we're talking about something, when we talk about revelation, we're talking about God speaking to us into our spirit, and he's revealing to us knowledge that we could not otherwise know by any other means except God, through the Holy Spirit, reveal that to us. We're supposed to be spirit-filled Christians. We're supposed to be thriving on the revelation of God's word. Amen? We're not just after the letter, we're after the Spirit. Praise God. Okay. But what I want you to see, unless there is a commitment to the written word, you will never, never, never see very much of the spoken word come into your heart and come into your life. You'll always be operating as a Christian on that level of the written word instead of the level of the revelation of the spoken word. The spoken word combined with the written word gives you revelation knowledge, but that brings understanding. But the understanding has got to take faith, and you have to step out on the understanding before more wisdom comes. And wisdom begins to mount up. It begins to heap up in your life. And you become wise because you begin to see revelation as the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. Am I getting too deep for anybody? I'm trying to show you these things through the Word of God. So wisdom comes through revelation, and it can only be imparted to our understanding compartment as we get ourselves in a place to receive the spoken word. And God knows when a person gets saved, you know, he's not going to be able to speak to that person very much because that person, again, he's not going to know that it's God speaking. You don't have the safeguard or the assurance, because listen to me, whatever God speaks will always line up with his word. So why would God give you a word if you can't judge it to see if it lines up with his word? Now, when people are hungry is when you have to be careful, because there's always somebody wants to give you a word from the Lord. Anybody ever wanted to give you a word from the Lord? You know, they have a prophecy for you. Well, you have to be very careful with prophecies, because there's a lot of false prophecy. There's a lot of people that have a zeal, but they don't have the knowledge of God. So when somebody comes to you to give you a prophecy, remember that prophecy needs to exhort. It needs to edify. But it also needs to be judged in the mouth of two or more witnesses. And whatever's spoken needs to line up with the written word. But again, if we don't have the written word, if we're not faithful to the written word, then why should God speak to us in the spoken word? Come on, somebody. So we know that when we receive revelation, that there's anointing on that, because the anointing begins to lift off the burdens and it begins to destroy the yokes. You know, that saying, one word from God will change your life. You know why? Because the light came on. Amen. All right. Well, let's keep on here. Revelation knowledge is wisdom revealed to your spirit. And there will be times when people want to give you a word. I know I've had people, we hadn't been saved too long. I remember somebody came to me and gave me a prophecy and told me that, God called me to go out and to do this and to teach, and that I would never be in one church. And if I didn't obey God, I would soon die. Well, you know, when you're a new Christian and you hear something like that, but thank God I had enough of the word in me to know that when somebody gives a prophecy, it's supposed to edify and encourage you. And how many know if somebody tells you you're going to die, is not an edification? And if I was going to die, or I was dying, I sure wouldn't go to the prophet. I'd go to the word. I'd go to God. Amen. And I'd find an answer, and I'd get in the word, and I'd find out what to do, because the Bible teaches us that by his stripes I'm healed. Amen. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and on and on and on and on. But if you don't know the written word, see, somebody will come to you and speak something or say something that'll be off the wall. But you know what I found out? When somebody speaks a word to you, It's already something that you have been meditating on the inside, something that the Spirit of God has already been dealing with you about. And most of the time, it's just somebody bringing a confirmation to you. You know, God may have been dealing with you about fasting and over something, and somebody comes and says, you know, I believe the Spirit of God told me to tell you you need to fast. Well, see, it'll be something that'll bear witness with what God has already spoken or trying to speak in your life. And the Word of God will bear witness to that, because we don't need to get goofy, amen? I said we don't need to get goofy and go jump in the lake because somebody says you better go jump in the lake or you're going to turn green. Amen. All right, let's move along here. Turn to James chapter 1, and let's look at how we get wisdom, okay? How many want you know how we get wisdom? Now, write down Psalms 119 and 130, because it says the entrance of the Word brings light. So, if I don't get into the Word, I'm not going to have any what? You're not going to have any light if you don't get in the Word. If I don't get in the Word, if we don't come and study the Bible like we're studying tonight, we're not going to have light, and we're going to be groping around in darkness. We're not going to know how to get rid of the devil. We're not going to know how to get the attacks that are coming at us, to get them to bow their knee at the authority that we've been given in the name of Jesus. We'll always be calling somebody to pray for us. We'll always be seeking somebody else to come and tell us what to do because we don't know what to do. Are you with me? So Christians need to get the Word of God, because the Bible says it's the principal thing. It's the essential thing. How can we be called Christians and move in the Spirit if we don't have an operating knowledge of the Word of God? Well, the answer is we can't, okay? Now, let's look here at James chapter 1. Look at verse 5 and 6. Let's read these together. It says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, we all lack wisdom because we don't have it all. We've been given the force of wisdom. When we got born again, that force of wisdom was injected into us. Because wisdom is the Word, Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is on the inside of us. Amen? In the form of the Holy Spirit. So there is a force of wisdom on the inside of us. But remember, it says in Deuteronomy that the secret things of God are hidden, but will be revealed to us. So the revealing to us comes through a revelation that as we walk with God, as we get in His written Word and faithful to the written Word, then God will speak to us the spoken Word, and rhema, what we call rhema, will come into our spirit, our revelation knowledge. Well, He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally. In other words, God will give anybody wisdom that asks Him. Anybody. He will give anybody wisdom that will ask Him. And not only will He give it to them, He'll give it to you liberally. What does that mean? That means He won't just give you just enough to get by. He'll give you more than you need. Now, but we've got to ask in faith. He says, I don't know what version you have, but I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, He will give all liberally, or all men liberally, and without reproach. King James says, upbraided. But what does without reproach mean? In other words, He's not going to find fault with you for asking Him. He's not going to think that you're stupid because you have to ask. Come on, somebody. He's not going to find fault because you don't have the wisdom to get out of the situation that you're in. The reason that you're in the situation is because you don't have the wisdom to get out. See, God will give you wisdom to get out of the situations that you're in. God will give you wisdom to make the decisions that you need to make, that those decisions won't hurt you, but those decisions will cause promotion and blessing to come to you. Are y'all with me tonight? So He says, if any man lack wisdom, He said, ask of God, who gives to all liberally, not just barely enough, but more than enough, and without reproach. He doesn't find fault. That's what reproach means. because we ask. He's not blaming us because we're stupid. He knew we were stupid. That's why he said, get wisdom. He said, that's the principal thing, okay? Because that's how you're going to advance, not only spiritually, but that's how you're going to be successful to overcome in life of all the things that life throws at us. And how many know it can throw some things at us? But look what it says. Verse 6, but let him ask how. Oh, now we've got to ask in faith. We've got to ask faith. Now let me ask you something. Does faith see it first or does faith say it first? Huh? How do we ask God in faith? How do we ask God for faith? How do we ask God in faith for wisdom? Does anybody, I'm asking a question. How do we ask God in faith for wisdom? Has anybody got an idea? How about using his word? How about saying with our mouth wisdom and say right here, Lord, your word says if I lack wisdom, I can ask of you and you will give it to me liberally and you will not find fault with me for asking you for it. How many know that's wisdom? Now you're asking God in faith for something before you have it. You're asking God in faith for something, but when you ask God in faith for something, then you have to be ready to step out and do it. Because faith has what? Corresponding action. Faith has works to it or it's dead. So whenever you ask God for wisdom to do something, then you've got to begin to step out in faith. That's what it means to ask of God in faith. Now, I want to show you how this works, okay? Go over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. Come on, somebody. 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, look at this, okay? Remember that wisdom, I think I shared this with you last week, that wisdom is like a floodlight. It takes information that has been imparted into you and begins to shine more light upon it. You know, it's like holding something way off, and you know, you can see the letters on the page, but until you bring it into a view is only when you can begin to actually read what it says. See, there is a bank of information on the inside of you. But sometimes that information is not in view. It's not in sight. That's why he said the entrance of his word brings light. Because we need light upon the word in order to see it. And once we begin to see it, see, then the Spirit of God begins to show us those things. The Spirit of God begins to minister to our spirit, and there's where revelation comes in, and he begins to show things to us. And so now we've got revelation, and we've got wisdom, and we've got knowledge, and now we're getting understanding or how to apply the wisdom and the knowledge that we have. Because as I said to you last week, there's a lot of people that have knowledge, but they don't know how to use it. There's a lot of people that acquire knowledge over the years that they don't use because they don't know how to use it. It's like, you know a plane flies, but how many of you can fly a plane? See, you know your car engine will go out there and start up, but how many of you can tear it apart and put it back together? See, there's things that you know that work, but you don't know how they work. Are you with me? All right. Now let's look here. Now here's the story of Solomon. And let's just back all the way up to verse 3 here. About all the time we'll have time. Let's look at Solomon here. It says in verse 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 7. It says, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in." Now what's he saying? He's saying, "Lord, I'm very young at this. I've come into this kingship and I really don't know what I'm doing. It'd be like somebody walking up to you today and say, we have just elected you president of the United States. Now go out and get in the office. How many of you know you wouldn't know what to do? Okay. That's where Solomon was, okay, when he took over. He did not know what to do. Now, what do we do when we don't know what to do? We ask for what? Okay. It says, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, now look at this. Therefore, give to your servant a what? An understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now look what he said. I don't know, you know, how much Sunday school you had growing up and things, but I was always taught that when approached by God, Solomon asked God for wisdom. Anybody ever heard that besides me? Well, if you look here, it says he asked for an understanding heart. And if you got any kind of, you know, a teaching Bible or anything, you look in the margin there, you'll find that the word understanding means a hearing heart. But let's stop and think about that. He asked God for a hearing heart. Now, in order to hear something, somebody's got to say something. And if somebody says something and it's God, that's equivalent to, well, it's equivalent to the word, but the word is wisdom. So, in essence, Solomon did ask God for wisdom. He asked God for an understanding heart or a hearing heart so he could hear the voice of God. Anytime you can hear the voice of God, what's coming in to your spirit? Wisdom. Wisdom. See, that's why it says in Proverbs again that wisdom is the principal thing. So he asked for a hearing heart to be able to hear the wisdom of God or the mouth of God speak to him so he would have wisdom. And look what verse 10, it says, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And then God said to him, because you've asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself. Now here's a lesson. We need to ask for wisdom, not for ourselves first, but so that we can help others. So that we can be in the right place at the right time. Because he asked this, look what he says, nor ask riches for yourself. I mean, no, it's not real wise to say, God, I'm asking you wisdom to get rich. I'm asking you wisdom, Lord, so I can be selfish. And I can go make a lot of money and not give you any time or give you any attention or give you any service. I mean, no, that's not wise. Okay. He said, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Job 28:28, you can just write that one down, because Job said this is what the wisdom of God is to fear the Lord. That's why we started with the fear of the Lord first. I don't know if I have time to read that one to you tonight, but it's there. You can write it down. It says, behold, I have done according to what? Your words. See, I have given to you a wise and an understanding heart. Now, he did just what James told us to do. If any of us, what, lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God gives to all men liberally, and he will not bring reproach because we ask him, but let us ask in faith. Now, when we ask in faith, what's the next thing we got to be ready to do? We got to be ready to step into it. Are y'all following me tonight? Okay. It says, now look what it says. It says, so that there was not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor. Isn't that great? So that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So, if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. What did wisdom say? It said it will crown you. It will bring honor to you. It will bring wealth and riches into your house. And it will lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke. Now look at this, because sometimes people miss this. And Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. See, we miss this sometimes because we think God is just going to walk up to us and talk to us. Solomon received this impartation of wisdom in a dream. I mean, you know, it's a good idea to go to sleep at night. The last thing you do is talk to God. You remember when you were a kid and the last thing you would do would be watch an ugly movie? And you'd have what? Nightmares. Isn't it amazing that God speaks to us and shows us things in dreams? If you go back and you study all the great inventions and people that invented great things, you know, most of those things came in a vision or in a dream. And God would just love to give His people great, witty inventions. Amen. And He can do that in a dream. Well, it says, and He came to Jerusalem, and He stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and what? Remember what I told you a while ago? Whenever God speaks wisdom, it's always connected to a man or woman of God that's willing to give. Don't ever lose that concept. Don't ever lose that connection between the anointing and giving. It says what? He offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all of His servants. And then, once, now listen, once wisdom has been given, how do you know you have it? How do you know you have it? By faith. You ask in faith. Now, you've got to be willing to step out. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, you ask God for wisdom, right? And then be ready for a test or a trial. Because listen, tell me you have faith that's not tested, and I'll tell you you have weak faith. Tell me that you have faith and that faith has never been tried under fire, and I'll tell you, you don't know how much faith you got. Right? Okay. So you got to get ready to step out when you ask God for wisdom, because you're going to have to do something that you don't know how to do. Now, this is where people miss wisdom. See, there's so much to this. That's why I had to take another week on wisdom. Because where most people get sidetracked is they revert back to what they know. They regress back to their knowledge instead of trusting God in faith that God can add to them wisdom. They go back to what they know and they miss out on what God wants them to do. Now, let's read it because of the time frame here. It says, now two women who were harlots, in other words, they weren't very nice, they were in sin, they came to the king and stood before him, and one woman said, oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened, the third day after I had given birth, that this woman who also gave birth, and we were together, no one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night, and because she laid on him, she rolled over on him, squashed him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son away from my side, and while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. In other words, she made a flop, she made a switch. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. In other words, if you have a baby, you know in 3 days if that's your baby or not. Come on, somebody. And the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Verse 23 says, and the king says, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, now look at this. Then the king said, bring me a sword. Now, whoa. Bring me a sword. Why did he say that? Why did he say, bring me a sword? Do you really think that he was thinking that he was going to take a sword and kill one of those babies or the other baby? Come on, somebody. Remember, you have to step out. He'd already asked God for wisdom. And the wisdom of God spoke and said, you will have the ability to discern between good and evil. You will have the ability to discern who's speaking the truth and who's not. And now, because he received it in faith, he's got to step out in faith. And the first thing he says when he's confronted with a situation is, bring me a sword. How many of you remember what? Just keep your finger there and look at Hebrews chapter 4 right quick. Hebrews 4, I think it's it. Hebrews 4, 12. Let me show you this. Come on, are y'all okay? Are you awake? Okay. He said what? Bring me a sword. Now look at Hebrews 4, 12. What does it say? Look what it says. What does it say? It says, for the word of God is living and what? And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the first thing that came to Solomon's mind was to bring me a sword. It is a type of the word of God, because when he asked for the sword is symbolic to the word, and the word is a discerner of the intents of the heart. And when he pulled that sword, look what it says back over there in chapter 3 of 1 Kings. It says, then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and said, oh my Lord, give her the child, and by no means kill him. But the others said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. The evil woman said, hey, let's let nobody have it, just kill them both. And the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And look at verse 28. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw what? The wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Everybody saw. He called for the sword. The sword was the word of God, which was a discerner of the heart and the intents. Amen. And he knew right away, because the Spirit of God had given him wisdom. Amen. Now let's just read the last scripture here and we'll close. I'm back in Proverbs chapter 4. Chapter 3. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Let me read this last scripture to you. Amen. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right, Proverbs chapter 3. See, wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs chapter 3, and let's just read verses 13 and 14, because that's all the time we got. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Happy is the man who finds the word of God, and the man who gains understanding. See, as revelation comes, understanding comes. It says, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. When you have the word working in your life, you'll know how to get the gold and the silver. Amen. It says, and her gain than fine gold, for she, the word of God, wisdom, is more precious than rubies. And all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. And he goes on the length of days and so on and so forth. Oh, I tell you, you have inside of you the wisdom of God. Now, God is able to give you more. How many of you would say, I want all the wisdom that I can get from God? Amen. Come on, close your Bibles.
And let's stand up tonight on our feet. And let's just thank God tonight that Jesus, the Anointed One, and His anointing is our wisdom. Praise God.